The whole idea of granny flat arrangements is to provide a way for parents to move in with the children or the children to move in with the parents, and a change of ownership of the property to ultimately advantage the children in exchange for a lifetime interest and a right to the senior to receive care and support from that child whilst they're able to live there. Obviously, if they have to move out for medical reasons to residential aged care, that's a different story. But whilst the senior is able to live with the children in their home, this is a very effective method of transferring the ownership of the asset without any detrimental effect to the client's social security or government pension.
Welcome to this edition of Retire Well, Retire Happy, with your host, Annie Nelson, an Australian look at reinventing yourself for retirement and getting yourself retirement ready. It's always fascinating getting to know what people are getting up to in retirement, how they are supplementing their incomes, pensions, where they have chosen to live, how they are filling their time, what charities they are supporting, and what adventures they are having. And we'll also talk to experts in their fields, including investing, health, estate planning, financial advisors, and seniors' health care.
I am a baby boomer. We're all living a lot longer. We're working later. We're getting up to stuff. But also part of being a baby boomer is the care of our aging parents. And that duty is falling to us as well, making sure they have the best arrangements in place. We do have options, and sometimes there's many options out there, and it can be a bit of a minefield to work our way through them all. Today's guest has chosen to specialise in this area of aged care and retirement living options. And that's who you need to talk to. Talk to an expert. One option we have is a granny flat arrangement. And today's guest will enlighten us about what is involved in entering into a granny flat arrangement with your aging parent.
Hi, it's Ann Nelson, and welcome back to the Retire Well, Retire Happy podcast show. And today, my guest is Steve Jankowski, and Steve has a business called Golden Age Advisory. Steve has a Master of Financial Planning and also specializes in aged care and retirement living. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Thanks very much, Anne. Happy to be here. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great. I was just outside earlier today and the birds are chirping. I was splashing a bit of water around on our dry ground. And as you know, here in tropical North Queensland, we're waiting for the rainy season to come.
Indeed we are. And we've got a little while to wait yet, I think. But anyway, Anne, thanks very much for inviting me to your podcast. And today we were going to have a chat about granny flat arrangements. Is that right?
Yes, it is right, because we're all living a lot longer. And the result of this is that some of us end up needing to help our aging parents as they slow down in the later part of their life.
Yes, Ian, that's correct. And the whole idea of granny flat arrangements is to provide a way for parents to move in with the children or the children to move in with the parents, and a change of ownership of the property to ultimately advantage the children in exchange for a lifetime interest and a right to the senior to receive care and support from that child whilst they're able to live there. Obviously, if they have to move out for medical reasons to residential aged care, that's a different story. But whilst the senior is able to live with the children in their home, this is a very effective method of transferring the ownership of the asset without any detrimental effect to the client's social security or government pension position. And during the course of this podcast, we'll talk about some of the opportunities as well as the risks, as well as how to manage those risks.
Well, that sounds like we're going to be in for a very informative session. So this is becoming more popular with more than one generation living in the one household, like three generations now.
Very much the case, Anne. And really, for the benefit of timeliness, I'll focus on these granny flat arrangements. And initially, we'll talk about, well, what are they and what are the risks? Well, in Queensland, when we talk about granny flat arrangements, people often picture a small semi-detached dwelling built in the backyard specifically to house that elder person. But the concept of a granny flat arrangement can be much, much broader. The fifth bedroom in a five-bedroom house can be constructed to be a granny flat interest. So it's quite different from the real estate description that most of us think about. When used in the context of social security, granny flat right is used to assess a person's living situation. So where money, assets, or the title to the senior's home have been transferred in exchange for a right to a lifetime accommodation in a private residence. The person obtaining the granny flat interest no longer has legal ownership of the property that they live in. And in most cases, this is an informal arrangement that the families create to provide support for the elderly person. There's no age or family relationship rules or requirements, but obviously if people are enjoying a government pension, they need to make sure they don't fall foul of the rules and regulations surrounding that.
It sounds like it's a bit of a minefield there.
Well, there's financial implications, obviously, when you might transfer an asset worth $500,000 or $1 million more to a child. Obviously, Centrelink in Australia, our social security system, have gifting rules, and that's all around avoiding deprivation of assets. And so they restrict the amount of money people can give away to $10,000 a year or $30,000 over a five-year period. Now, obviously, granny flat arrangements constructed properly don't fall foul of those gifting rules, and so they're a very effective way to transfer assets while you're alive in exchange for a right to reside and enjoy care, comfort, support, and company from your family. So the technical stuff is really, how do people establish and value a granny flat right? Well, it can be created in a number of ways. The value of that granny flat interest generally will be the amount paid or the amount of the assets transferred in exchange for the interest. And that's because the client ultimately loses the legal title to the property. So there's three broad ways you can start a granny flat arrangement. You can construct a new property, or everybody sells and buys a bigger property together, or we just transfer the title of the property that mum and dad are living in now. So one by one, constructing a new property. Let's say we've got an aging mum that's got an enormous home and yard, but it's too frail to look after the lawn and garden. So instead, she might pay to construct a second property on her land to live in while her son and daughter take over the family house. So that's one way that we can create a granny flat interest. Another one is where everybody sells, and that's a way of bringing the adult kids and their parents geographically closer together by each selling up and buying something together and putting it into the child's name. Let's say you had a house in Alligator Creek and your mum lives at Bluewater. You might theoretically buy a bigger home for all of you to live in at a more convenient or halfway point without sacrificing your pension. Again, Centrelink must perceive that purchase as reasonable, and I'll talk a little bit about that later. The third way is complete, just transfer the title. So in this scenario, mum or dad puts the home in the name of their adult child in order to pay for the granny flat interest, which means they have the right to live there for the rest of their life, and their adult child moves in to provide them with their companionship and care. Obviously, there should be a formal legal arrangement, but that strategy is particularly effective if the parent really can't afford to look after the house and wants to give their child a bit of a leg up in the property market whilst continuing to receive the pension. And that's the one that I get the most appetite or most inquiry about these days, is where the parents' home is just too big for them. The kids are struggling to find a way to get into the property market. And this is certainly a scenario where everybody wins.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful idea. And like I said, everyone's living a lot longer and it's hard sometimes to get on the government help that is provided via care packages too. There's a lot of people, I believe, that are waiting for them. So it could be a way around ensuring that you have care as you age.
Well, certainly moving in with the kids or having the kids move in with you gives you that assistance so that you don't have to do all the yard work yourself. Obviously, if you transfer the title of the property to the children, they then look after the rates and electricity and maintenance around the home. And that really lifts a substantial weight and responsibility and financial responsibility off the senior. Yeah. So obviously, Centrelink Social Security are very interested in this transfer of assets, and so it needs to be done appropriately. Generally, if the senior's been living in the house as their family home and the children moves in and they transfer the title of the property to the children in exchange for that life interest, then that's pretty safe almost irregardless of the value of the property. The concept of paying too much for your granny flat right comes about where you might move in with the children and give them a component of money, and that obviously is where the Social Security is interested. An example might be if mum were to sell her house for $500,000 and move into the fifth bedroom, and she were to give the children not only that $500,000 but some additional money, then Centrelink would be interested to make sure she didn't pay too much for that right. And that's called the reasonableness test. And it's a reasonably complex actuarial calculation, but in simple terms, it looks at the senior's life expectancy and the couple's rate of age pension, and that's how they use it to determine the value if it's excessive. So if you were 65 years of age, your life expectancy times a couple's pension suggests that a reasonable amount is somewhere around that $600,000, $650,000 mark. But conversely, if you were 95 years of age when you did this arrangement with a much shorter life expectancy, the amount that Social Security might see as reasonable might be as low as $150,000. But again, if the kids move in to the family home and take ownership, they're not likely to fall foul of those rules. It's really where additional monies are paid. And the whole concept is, will the senior get value from that arrangement?
We would hope so.
Well, obviously, if they're 65 with a life expectancy in Australia of so 86, then potentially they're going to live 20 years in that home supported by the children. So that's a fair exchange. But again, if they're 95 and they have a quite short life expectancy, well, they could be overpaying.
If we only had a crystal ball.
It is helpful to have a crystal ball, and an important thing about creating a granny flat right or a granny flat arrangement is that when you go into this arrangement, you must have an expectation that you're going to be there for at least 5 years. Now, by that I mean that if you're already unwell and you've been assessed that you're likely to have to move into care in just 2 years' time, then Centrelink will effectively see that as a strategy to avoid the gifting rules. So what they do is they basically say they expect you to stay in the arrangement for 5 years unless something unforeseen happens. So by that, if you're well and 2 years into the arrangement, you have some sort of medical episode and you need to move into care, that wasn't foreseeable. Conversely, if you're already unwell and a reasonable person could foresee that you wouldn't be able to stay at home for the next 20 years, or certainly for the next 5 years, that's when things can come unstuck. And ultimately, worst case scenario, if that's done poorly, then the whole value of the property gifted to the children would be assessed as a gift, and that would have Centrelink implications. A very important point is I don't want people to just blindly hand over their home as a gift to the next generation. That's a big no-no. So if you want to keep your age pension, it's very important to work within the guidelines and constraints of these granny flat arrangements.
I see. And are there any other risks you know about?
Well, certainly the main issues, the human experience, really. You need to have a legal agreement. One of the most important things that I'd like people to come away from this podcast understanding is we can't just, as loving parents and loving children, say things are going to be good forever and we'll just transfer the title of the property to the kids and you haven't got it documented, because there's always risks. You know, you could end up being the grandmum from hell and the kids can't cope with you. The kids could get into some sort of financial trouble and the house would have to be sold, or the child's marriage and relationship might fall apart, resulting in that property becoming part of a settlement order that needs the property to be sold. All of these possibilities could leave the senior in a very undesirable situation and may result in them being left out in the cold. So a legal agreement that covers off the majority of those risks is very important. Obviously, it's impossible to eliminate all the risks in every situation, but if you get good legal and financial advice and you understand the risks and decide whether you want to take them or not, well, then when you go forward and you have that document drawn up, everybody knows what's going on and what the expectations are.
Right. Thank you very much for explaining that. It could work and it could be the worst decision you ever made.
And often people go into these types of relationships with groupthink. Everybody thinks it will be wonderful until the families are actually living closely together. And again, that's where the legal agreement covers not only the arrangements as people go in, but it also covers what happens if there is a breakdown and what happens if you need to come out of these arrangements.
Yeah.
And it's prudent to have a sort of a time-based formula. You know, if you're 75 now and you've got a life expectancy of 25 years and the consideration was $450,000, it needs to enable you to exit and the children and yourself to be compensated both ways. So if you had to leave in 3 years because things just weren't working out, obviously the children need to be compensated for the 3 years of care. And conversely, if you stay there for 20 years and move out in your 90s, it needs to be equitable. So a legal agreement that covers off a progressive scale, so that if you leave in 2 years, the senior gets substantially all of the value of their property back. Conversely, if they leave after 20 years, the refund or the amount that they might receive back is commensurately smaller. It's a sensible way of doing things. Okay. Another important aspect of any agreement that the people might consider with their children, obviously, you're putting a lot of faith in your children to provide care and comfort for you for the future. And one of the reasons that you're doing it is that because the property's become, you know, too big and too expensive for you to manage. So other factors that folks should consider would be who pays what for whom. You know, will the children provide cooking and cleaning and washing, etc.? Who pays for the electricity and the phone bill to ensure that the senior has privacy in their home and has the ability to still invite their friends around and not have that denied to them? How much independence they might have to live their own life versus being tied down to a family's timetable. How much time do you want to spend with the grandchildren? Do you want to be involved with their care? And ultimately, the serious one, what happens if your health deteriorates and your care needs change? You know, you might need to have a much higher level of care at home. And At the beginning of the conversation, you talked a little bit about home care packages. Obviously, in a granny flat arrangement, you can still avail yourself of these home care packages whilst, and they're all there. Everything's designed to provide you with comfort and dignity and the ability to stay at home for as long as possible.
Okay, it sounds like the government really does want us to stay at home as long as possible. So who's eligible for these granny flat arrangements?
Well, as I said, they're not restricted by age. Obviously, the biggest uptake is in those people who are receiving the age pension but want to reward or enrich their children and transfer the value of their property and do it in such a way as to not disqualify themselves from receiving that age pension. Now, another important aspect of these granny flat arrangements where you're transferring the property out of your name into the name of other people is your estate planning. Obviously, many Australians, their principal asset is their family home, and that's often quite valuable. And other than that, they might have quite modest other savings. An example might be a single-age pensioner's living in a family home worth $350,000, and they might just have another $100,000 outside. If they've only got one child, the arrangement has very simple and straightforward. But if you've got three children, you need to give consideration as to the impact on your estate planning. And ultimately, good lawyers and sitting down and drafting an agreement, there are many ways that you can provide for more than one child when you use a granny flat arrangement. You might transfer the property into the name of the three children. That's almost a chapter on its own, Anne, but
yes, we don't have time for all that.
But the impact on estate planning is important, and people need to understand what would happen in that scenario. And obviously, you know, I encourage the seniors to keep some money back just for their own financial independence, just by virtue of the fact that mine is a risk management mindset. And what if a tropical cyclone came along and destroyed the home and neither the kids nor the parent could live in it for 12 months? Does mum have enough money to fund her lifestyle while the property's being rebuilt? So there's lots of things to consider. And so really it's important to have good quality financial advice to cover off on the cash flow and the affordability and the Centrelink implications, and good legal advice to help them understand the contract that needs to be drafted, what is the life tenancy, and ultimately provide everybody with peace of mind. If there's more than one child, as much as is possible, I recommend everybody be involved in the decision-making process. That way you avoid families falling out when ultimately, children have an expectation of an inheritance, and if you disrupt that by substantially rewarding one child over the others, then that's not fair, that's not equitable, and ultimately it can lead to ill feelings between the siblings, and there's a better way. With thought and forethought and contract, you can ultimately make sure that everybody is on the same page, understand it's all about mum's care and making sure everybody has a meeting of the minds as to this is a good arrangement. But certainly, I'd say in closing, I see the granny flat arrangement as the queen on the chessboard of retirement living and Centrelink planning for seniors, up to the point where they just simply can't live in the home anymore. Their condition might have deteriorated to the point where they need 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week specialist care, and nobody could expect their children to give up their own lives and livelihoods in order to provide for the parent. So forethought, planning, and going into it with your eyes open means everybody can live a long and happy life at home.
Well, thank you very much, Steve. That was a very comprehensive explanation of how the granny flat arrangement can work for families here in Australia.
So, Anne, a plug for myself, obviously Golden Age Advisory is here to help manage the risks of moving into a granny flat arrangement. I'll help people understand the implications. I'll help them to comply with the special rules that Centrelink Social Security have about granny flat interests and help them to understand the sorts of things they need to cover off in the agreement. So I've got a web page. It's www.goldenageadvisory.com.au, or just feel free to call me on 0408 771 677 if anybody wants to take things further.
Thank you very much, Steve. And Steve is Steve Jankowski, and he is a master financial planner and aged care and retirement living specialist. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Anne, always. Thank you very much for the opportunity.
You have been listening to the podcast show of Retire Well, Retire Happy with your host, Annie Nelson. For more information on the show's guests and being retirement ready, pop on over to my website, www.annnelson.com.au, on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Until next time, be happy, stay healthy, and help somebody.